I think you've gotten the message from Richard, if nothing else. Tomorrow's Memorial Day. Memorial Day to honor those who died fighting for our country. It's not Veterans Day. Veterans Day is to honor those who served. And that includes a lot of us here. Larry and myself and a number of others here served. But we're not honored on Memorial Day because we're still here. Memorial Day was people who walked into situations where they knew they probably weren't going to come out. I can't imagine what some of those guys went through in Vietnam. Can't imagine some of the difficulties that some of them had. Cindy's dad, Bud, was in the landing in Normandy, and I've heard him talk about how that was, and he always choked up. It's the only time I ever saw him get emotional. When his son died, no emotion. But when he talked about Normandy, there was emotion. The history of Memorial Day is on the back of your bulletin. You heard Richard's discussion this morning that Bill read to us. But you know, Christians are called to be involved in memorials. All kinds of memorials. We show what we value by observing memorials. So what happens tomorrow? What is tomorrow for you? Going to the lake? Having a cookout? Going to the amusement park? Celebrating the first 3-day weekend of the summer? You know, I remember my grandmother talking about what Memorial Day, which as Richard indicated was called Decoration Day back there, what that was like 100 years ago. Isn't it interesting how we've changed? Not too many people looked at Decoration Day, Memorial Day back 100 years ago as a time for a cookout or an amusement park or a boat ride or fishing or I guess they were closer to the tragedy. I guess they were closer to the loss. I guess they had had family members die. We've been pretty much spared that. The Civil War, nobody avoided losing those they loved. In Acts 10 and verse 4, there's a discussion about what we value. It's kind of interesting to me because it's the story of Cornelius. And God says, Cornelius, your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial before God. See, Christianity is emphasizing memorials repeatedly. They're not monuments ordinarily, not like the statue downtown, not like some of the things that Carl made reference to. This was a remembrance. What kind of memorials do we have in our culture? Graceland. Michael Jackson's Neverland. JFK. Those are our memorials. A lot different than 100 years ago, right? Because we have shifted our values. And so our culture is more focused on the icons of our culture than on our survival. The Bible talks a lot about what we value, about memorials. I want to share with you some things from God's Word this morning that talks about that. The first point I want to make is that our degree of appreciation is shown by what we give. And this is not a sermon on giving, okay? There's an interesting story in Matthew 26, beginning with verse 6. We're told there that a woman brought an alabaster jar of perfume. The value of that was around $800 in our American currency today. And she poured it on Jesus. And Judas complained. And Jesus' response to that was, I tell you the truth. Wherever the gospel is preached, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. What value did she have on Christ? Do you know how much $800 would have been to her? That's a year's wages. What was the value that Judas placed on Jesus? This last week, we were in York, Nebraska. There's a museum there that I'll tell you a little more about later. One of the things they gave us was some actual coins from the time of Jesus. And I'll leave these out. You can take a look at them. There's a piece of silver. There's a piece of silver. Judas gave 30 of these for Christ. You know, I think my mindset, 30 pieces of silver were chunks of silver. Judas didn't have anywhere near that kind of value on Christ. A lot of people in our culture, that's the value of Christ. We criticize Judas, but look around. What value do we place? 30 pieces of silver? Or $800 worth, a year's wages worth of costly perfume? See, memorials demand time, they demand energy, they demand more than just money. You have 168 hours given to you every week by God. 168 hours. I wonder what crossed your mind when the discussion about Wednesday at 4:45 came up. You know, we need to think about how we're responding, what appreciation we're showing to God by the giving of our time, our energy. It's not money. God doesn't need money. Money is not an issue here. We don't have a money problem at this church. But we have an energy problem. We have a labor problem. We have a time problem. What's your value? What do you give? Time-wise. I'd also like to call your attention to the fact that in Scripture, there's three different words that are different in the Greek between recalling, remembering, and recollecting. Recalling, remembering, recollecting. See, there's three different Greek words. Like a lot of times in Greek, you know, we talk about memorials, but we don't understand there's different kinds. For instance, recalling is from the Greek word, and I put this in the bulletin so you could see and look it up for yourself if you are interested. M-N-E-I-A. Carl can probably tell you how to pronounce that. Let me give you some of the passages that use that word. Philippians 1 and verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance. That's the Greek word. 1 Thessalonians 3:6. You had good remembrance of us always. That's recalling. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 3. Have remembrance of you in my prayers. Always in my prayers. 2 Peter 1:15, have all these things always in remembrance. We are called as Christians to remember people who have blessed us. You've heard me talk about Ward Sullivan. You've heard Carl and Julie talk about Ruth Sullivan. Who are these? They're people we recall. They're people that are important to us, people that we are remembrance of. I'm in an awkward situation in York, Nebraska. Many years ago, I did a lectureship in a place called Boulder, Colorado. And there was a young student by the name of John Oakes who attended my lectureship. He had a lot of questions, a lot of challenges. He was an atheist. I spent quite a bit of time with him. He became a Christian. Now he's a wealthy man. He's also a collector of antiques. He has a $675,000 collection, I'm told. And he is recalling me, and so he has called this museum in North Nebraska, in York, Nebraska, the Clayton Museum of Antiquities. And I've tried very hard to discourage him from that because I think it needs to be called the Standback, that's his name, Museum of Antiquities. But see, what he's doing is he's remembering someone who was important to him. And I'm thankful that I was important to him. I was thankful that God brought me to a time when his heart was open to look at what we were presenting. There's nothing wrong with doing that. The only problem is it can be misread. And that's what disturbs me about it. It's not the same as the word remembering, which is the word A-N-A-M-N-E-S-I-S. That's also in your bulletin. And that is to have a constant indwelled memory. And Jesus used that in Luke 22 and verse 19. This do in remembrance of me. You see the difference? The word that is chosen here is something that is to be continuous. Something that is to be constant. We are called every time we get together. This do in remembrance of me. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 24, as oft as you do it in remembrance of me. This is to be continuous. This is to be ongoing. And we are called to have that kind of memorial. And that's why the communion we just participated in is so important. You know, I've been in other countries where people leading the communion service teared up. Carl bordered that today. Why? Because it's that important to him. We need to understand that God wants us to remember Jesus, and the Lord's Supper was established to assist us in having a constant, controlled, indwelled memory. There's a third word that is used, recollecting. The Greek word is H-U-P-O-M-N-E-S-I-S. Again, that's in your bulletin. And it's to recall an event of the past. A good example, 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5, when Paul's talking about Timothy, he says, I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith. Remembrance, the unfeigned faith. He recalls the faith of this man. I recall the faith of many of you. It's an encouragement to me to see you here. You know, I don't like to preach. I really don't. I'd much rather teach. I do this because it's easier for me than it is for others here who probably do a better job, but they find it more difficult. Call to remembrance the unfeigned faith. I'm so thankful. Every time I get on that tractor, I think of Dave. Think about what he has done and how he has blessed us and made it so easy for us to care for this facility. I think of Bill and all the times he's crawled around in sewage and spilled water and everything else to keep us in a facility that's comfortable. That's biblical. We're to do that. In 2 Peter 1, verse 13, verse 15, and again in 3:1, we're told, stir your minds by remembrance. What is the purpose of Memorial Day? It's to stir our minds. To help us remember those who have made it possible for us to be here in this country. I don't know what's going to happen to Gatwick. But I know if he has to go home, he's going home to a much different place than he had when he was here. We need to keep him in our prayers. We need to have our minds stirred. I think Gatwick's been good for us. He's stirred us. He's helped us to appreciate more and more how blessed we are. We're to do all these things. We're to recall, we're to remember, we're to recollect. And we're also to honor. And I'd also like to encourage you to think about the words that are used in honoring. Because there are three ways, three different words, three different uses of the word honor. And honor can be used very badly. Jesus in John 5 and verse 40 was talking to the Pharisees, and he talked about honor. And the word used here is doxa, D-O-X-A, which means to praise. One way of honoring is to praise. And so Jesus says, you refuse to come to me to have life. You do not honor. You do not accept honor. And I do not accept honor. Jesus says, I do not accept praise from men. Why not, Jesus? But I know you. I know you do not have the love of God in your hearts. Jesus doesn't want empty praise. You don't want empty praise either, do you? You don't want somebody praising you when you know deep down inside it isn't true. Jesus goes on, he says, I have come in my Father's name and you do not accept me. But if someone comes in his own name, you accept him. I'm an Elvis Presley fan. I love his music. I enjoy Michael Jackson's music. But one of the things that amazes me is the degree of devotion that people in America will give to Michael Jackson or to Elvis Presley and will not give one ounce of honor to Jesus Christ or to God. Jesus says, I know your heart. You're not fooling me. If someone comes in his own name, you accept him. How can you believe if you accept praise from one another and yet make no effort to obtain the praise that comes from only God? We are to be involved in a praise hunt. Paul had that problem. You remember the letter in Corinth? He wrote to the Corinthians and he said, you guys are all messed up. Some of you say, I am of Paul and I am of a Cephas and I am of an Apollos. See, these guys had been in a praise hunt. And they identified who baptized them and held them up as being something special. Revelation 19:7 tells us we will eventually all give God praise in heaven. But God doesn't want it on earth if it's not sincere. There's another use of the word glory, another use of the word honor. And it's by the Greek word T-I-M-A-O. Again, these words are all in your bulletin. And what it really means is to give weight. To give weight. And I had not understood this. Maybe you hadn't. I want you to listen to these. Jesus says in John 4:44, a prophet is not without honor in his own country. What's that mean? A prophet is not without weight in his own country. People won't listen to someone who's from town on issues. That was one of the things that always frustrated me in South Bend. You know, I would go around the country and do lectureships and have all kinds of response to people who were looking for the kind of answers I was given. But in South Bend, nobody would listen to me. Why not? Because I have no weight. I have no credibility among the people of the community in which I have grown up. Matthew 15:4, honor. Give weight to your mother and father. Okay, teenagers, listen up. Give weight to your mother and father. You know, I think we've had the idea of honoring mother and father rooted around Mother's Day and Father's Day and all that sort of thing. That's really not what that passage is talking about. What that passage is talking about is take what your mom and dad have to say seriously. They have something worth listening to. Give them weight. God calls us to that kind of glory. Ephesians 6, verse 2, 1 Timothy 5, and verse 3. Honor the widows among you. Give weight to the widows among you. Why? Because a woman who has gone through widowhood, and it was due in Jesus' day, and I think it's true even today, has gone through experiences that make her worth listening to. You know, it's kind of interesting. When I go to visit Audrey, she always has something to say to me that I need to give weight to. She lets me know that. And she's absolutely right. When Ruth Sullivan said something, she didn't say much, but when she said something, you better listen. It was going to be good. That's biblical. In 1 Corinthians 12, beginning in verse 23, We're told to honor the unseemly parts of our body. What does that mean? It means give weight to the parts of your body you might not think of that significant. One of the things I learned in reading while I was gone is that there are more bones in your feet than the rest of your body put together. Did you know that? There are 52 bones in your feet. JR's broken, I think, every one of them. But I think it's interesting to notice that this is a part of the body to be cared for. This is something to value. And I've told JR, when he gets to be my age, he's going to wish he had. Because it's kind of important to realize how significant those are. Give weight to the unseemly parts of your body. And here's one some of you guys may not want to hear, but in 1 Peter 3 and verse 7, it says, give honor to the wife. What does that mean? Give weight to the wife. Listen to what the wife is saying. Mine's downstairs. I can say about anything I want right now. But I think it's important to understand that God calls us to this kind of glory, to giving weight. It's not a matter of putting somebody up on a throne. It's not the idea of elevating somebody. It's the idea of paying attention to those people. In Romans 13 and verse 7, we're told to give weight to civil authorities. What does that mean? It means pay attention to the law. It means to obey the law. It means to be significant in the law. So not only is honoring and giving glory the question of praise, but it's also paying attention to what people have to say. And how many times have you wished you had listened more carefully than you did? And the last part is another word, entimos, E-N-T-I-M-O-S. And this is giving celebrity honor. And this is the one we probably most commonly associate with this. But Jesus had a wonderful example in Luke 14. And I wonder if you can relate to this. And I'm quoting this now. When Jesus noticed how the guests picked places of honor at the table of a prominent Pharisee's house, he told them this parable. When someone comes to invite you to a wedding feast, do not take a place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. And if so, the host will invite both of you, will come to you and say, give this man your seat. Then, humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you are invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, friend, move up to a better place. Let me give you a practical illustration of that. I'm at a banquet. Julie's going to be at banquets this next couple of weeks. And there's an honoree table, you know. There's a table where the speaker is and the honoree is and so forth and so on up there in front. And then the rest of the people sit at other tables around. One thing I learned a long time ago, don't ever go up and sit at that front table. Because if you do, that's exactly what will happen, what Jesus just described. Somebody more significant than you will come on and you'll get bumped. You're just a teacher, you're just a librarian, whatever. And if it's a school superintendent, you're going to get bumped. The principal, you're going to get bumped. So he goes on then, he says, just humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you are invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, friend, move to a better place, then you will be honored in the presence of all your fellow guests. And here's the conclusion. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. There's no room for ego trips in the church. There's no room for arrogance in the church. One of the things that I have tried to resist very hard is calling me preacher or pastor or anything like that. Why? Because that's an arrogance. We are all equal. We all do different things. Some of you are much better at some aspects of the ministry than I am. But it's important to understand that Jesus calls us to not get involved in celebrity honor. We're told to give weight. We're told to give praise. We're not told to give celebrity honor. And see, this thing in York concerns me because I don't want people thinking that I'm the focus here. The man who's the focus is the man who provided all this stuff. So it's sometimes a difficult situation. We have to work at being what God calls us to be. So Memorial Day is also this kind of honor. It's a celebrity honor. It's to honor those who died so that we can live today, can be moved up in honor when we participate in days like today. Let's honor them once again in prayer. Father, we thank you for Memorial Day. We're thankful for all those who have died, for what we enjoy. But Father, we also want to know, want you to know how much we love you. We want you to understand. We want to say to you that our hearts need to grow. We want our hearts to be pure. We want our hearts to give praise to you. We want to give weight to those that we have contact with, to our wives, to our husbands, to our widows, to all those things that you have instituted so that we can live peacefully and fully and productively. Forgive us, God, when we let arrogance and selfishness and our egos interfere. Help us to be more like Jesus, more what you would call us to be. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We remember God by remembering all he does for us. I didn't know Bill was going to call on me for the opening prayer today, but I hope that you caught the thrust of everything we've done here this morning. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow, our first song. Praise God, for whom all blessings, not just on Memorial Day, not just on Sunday, but every day of our lives. We honor God by our giving. Not just of our money, but of our time, of our intellect, of our energy, of our strength. We praise God because of our love. When my love for Christ goes weak, when for greater strength I seek. That's giving weight to what God has done for us. And we honor God by surrendering to God. Take a look at number 29 in your psalm book. Number 29 is a fitting song for today, because it talks about us doing what people being honored tomorrow did. They surrendered their life for you, for this country. And Jesus surrendered his life for you. And so if we sing this song with meaning and with intent, all to Jesus I surrender. It's my turn. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him. See, there's that heart thing we were talking about. In his presence daily live. All to Jesus I surrender. Humbly at his feet I bow. No arrogance. No ego. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. God, you gave me 168 hours a week. Let me give some of that back to you. Show me how to do that. Let me deliver flowers to the neighbors. Let me help make the property more attractive. Let me teach the children. Let me speak to community people at the fair. All to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to thee. Can you really say that? Fill me with your love and power. Let your blessings fall on me. Let's sing this together, and if you have a special need, bring it to us this morning as we sing, I Surrender All. Won't you come?